This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This is Good Morning Liberty.
Well, what is going on, all of our liberty-loving friends? Welcome back to another fantastic episode of Good Morning Liberty. My name's Chuck. Chuck!
That was good.
With me as always.
That was good.
Nate!
What's up, man?
Nathaniel Paul.
How's it going?
Thurston on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I got to tell you, it's going pretty good because I didn't drive across the bridge this morning.
Oh, God.
I just woke up in my bedroom and then I walked upstairs to my office.
New fear unlocked. I mean, I kind of think about it sometimes. What happens if a bridge collapses while you're driving across it? You know, because yeah. I have a lot of irrational fears.
Well, you probably bought one of those glass breakers off Temu.
I bet. Yeah.
So you can get out. You carry it with you.
Out of the car.
Mm-hmm. If you do happen to be submerged underwater, you can just...
Yeah.
And it shatters the glass for you.
Terrible, terrible tragedy.
It is, yeah.
Terrible, sad. Terrible tragedy struck in Baltimore.
Potentially. We don't know how many people have died yet. Anybody die yet? Do we know?
You know, there's actually not any confirmed yet, but I think we can probably make the assumption. So if you don't know, a ship crashed into a bridge in Baltimore. Bridge collapsed, actually blocking the entire harbor in Baltimore, which is a massive port. Mm-hmm. Like that, a lot of stuff comes in there, and this bridge goes across the entry to it. And so no one's in or out until this thing is taken care of. Pretty crazy. So here's just a little clip from...
Here's what we know for sure, though. We figured this thing out.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing some investigative journalism in the pre-show with the Fed Haters Club, joingmail.com.
I wouldn't call it speculation, Nate. I mean, we ran through the potential scenarios. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's only one that makes sense.
There is only one that makes sense.
Yes.
And we will present you...
And it is shocking.
The answer. You're not... gonna believe this, okay? Here's how the mainstream media
which, by the way, you could have already found out the investigation that we went through this morning if you were part of the Fed Haters Club.
You watched us investigate in real time.
If we might change it to Unions Haters Club.
We'll see.
Go to joingmail.com to be part of that.
Following this collision, there were a flurry of law enforcement memos, including one from CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, issued to law enforcement and obtained by CBS News. That bulletin saying that the U.S. Coast Guard had reported that the Dolly, the cargo ship, lost propulsion as it was leaving Baltimore Harbor, and that vessel notified the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of the vessel and an elision or a collision with the bridge was possible. And so we're just learning this new information from law enforcement, from the Department of Homeland Security, that the U.S. Coast Guard had become aware of reports from the Dolly indicating that they had lost propulsion of that motor ship and that they knew that a potential collision was possible and that they had notified the Maryland Department of Transportation as much.
Hey, we might hit a bridge.
Yeah,
why
didn't they do anything to stop it? That's what I want to know. No,
well, the government's there to protect you, Nate. Okay.
So
they can't shut down a major bridge.
Just as a preface for this conversation, we've been having a long conversation in the pre-show about how these days, the way that you go viral on Twitter and the way that you get a bunch of followers is to just speculate wildly about things. And to act like this must be the truth or that you somehow have some kind of inside information that other people don't have. Whatever the wild thing is that you decided this it could be, it is, according to you. And whoever else wants to believe that specific version of reality, not even saying it's not true, but whoever wants to believe that, they will retweet it. They will talk about it as well. And that's how you just get so many wild theories immediately about things. And we're just not all that great at doing this sort of thing. Because when I see this, my immediate thought is, that's sad, that's scary, that's crazy, that is a really big ship, how do they get that thing to float? And then the next thing on my list is, well, I have no clue what happened right here. There's a video of it, and we'll see what the investigation finds out. That's basically the line of events that happen inside my brain. That does not create a viral Twitter post.
Until.
It just doesn't.
Until we did the investigation
ourselves. Well, you
see,
the problem is I hadn't talked it through with the Fed Haters Club and with Charles Chuck Thompson over here. And so what you can see is this ship.
Clearly. You can clearly see.
Clearly.
This is an inside job.
You can. The ship was.
Right before it hits, watch the power go out.
Power goes out. Now, a power outage
perfectly steers right towards it.
A power outage on a ship does not occur naturally, Charlie. Uh-huh. Okay, this was a mechanical failure that was most likely intentional by someone. And so what we've decided to do is figure out who intentionally caused this ship to steer into, you know, I don't even know if it was the power going out. I think that's when someone else sitting in a pilot seat remotely took control over the ship and steered it towards this pillar for the bridge.
Yes.
And that's what I think we're seeing in this. More than likely, there are other...
We'll probably get the radio communications. Yeah. Cut the lights.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. That'll come out from WikiLeaks eventually.
Yeah.
Someone's going to show this if they allow that to happen.
But we went through all your standard, you know, terrorist attack... you know, we went through some type of hacking, all of that. It's none of that.
No.
Here's what it is.
Well, I
think you pointed it out correctly, so I want you to release the shocking news.
Well, in most events,
to the world.
In most events, you got to figure out who benefits from this. And one direction I went, which was the incorrect direction, we'll admit, was what's the cargo on the ship? Now, I immediately didn't go through the manifest for the ship and didn't actually see that this was some kind of aid that was going to Gaza. Because at first I was like, well, this is probably Israel trying to stop a massive shipping container full of aid for starving people in Gaza. Hmm. And so therefore, at first I thought it could be Israel. Then I realized that this is a massive port that's going to be blocked for quite some time now. And who has the motivation to do such a thing? Well, I thought maybe it could have been Russia that did this cyber attack.
But they just had a terrorist attack, so that
they're dealing with their own
stuff. With their own.
Yeah, they got their own false flags to deal with over there, you know. So I was like, well, who would want us to think that it's Russia? Well, that's Ukraine. Ukraine would want us to think that it's Russia, so it's probably Ukraine that did it. But Ukraine
that way we would enter the war like with physical troops.
Mm-hmm.
We probably already have some there anyway, but
yeah,
we would actually like declare war on Russia.
Yes,
because we thought Russia. I mean, this would be an attack on American soil.
Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you don't pass the spending bills through Congress to help Ukraine.
I mean, that's a credible thought.
Well, then I realized that Ukraine can't do that on their own because they don't really have any money. So who did it? U.S. did it. America did the cyber attack. Mm-hmm. So we would think
Russia thought the deep state. So as we're going down this timeline, it's got to be the deep state, CIA, NSA, you know, organizations that don't even have initials.
That guy working for NASA that's trying to stop meteors from hitting the Earth.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
People in the deep state.
Right. Know?
That's from Friday's Don't Bleep episode, if you didn't watch that. So it could be any of those things. The next thing you might go down the list, and you might assume correctly, that this captain that was piloting the ship into the harbor, probably a result of a DEI hire, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, so these days when you're not going towards merit-based hiring, you know, this is the kind of thing that happens when you stop hiring based on merit.
And it turns out the CEO of Boeing, you know, who's outgoing, happens to sit on the board of the shipping containers company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just cutting safety out for profits. So we know that's probably how the ship lost power.
But no.
Which leads us to the correct assumption, by the way.
The correct assumption is always who benefits from this. You got to ask yourself, who benefits the most from this tragedy? And the answer is the person, the people, the organization, the company that rebuilds the bridge.
And ship.
You know, because when, and the ship. And so the question is, who gets to rebuild the bridge? And I can't tell you for sure what company is going to be contracted to do it, but I can guarantee you that they all have union workers. Mm. They all have union labor. And so therefore the answer through our investigation
that we know for sure,
we know this is the most likely scenario, is that the United Steelworkers Union
in collusion with
probably the United Auto Workers and all of those
Maritime Waterworks Union
that is who actually committed.
You never heard of the MWW?
Cyber attack. So the whole...
Which we haven't been able to tweet yet, but once we are able to tweet
once
this...
Once we get that into a tweet, it's going to be great. It's going to be viral.
Everybody knows sure. what happens.
Okay. So the point of this exercise that we just did is that we have no freaking clue what happened at all.
No idea.
No one does, so stop freaking posting on Twitter like you know what happened. That's the point of this conversation.
And we were talking about how if we would, any one of these theories, if we just put it out there as fact, we would probably gain a lot of followers, which would turn into money and whatever. So yeah,
no Teamsters were driving over the bridge. Coincidence? I don't think so. Anyhow.
The point is if we were to present any one of these scenarios as fact, we would probably gain a lot of followers, which would lead to more money. So it's, I guess I understand why people do this, but it's so disingenuous and just absolutely ridiculous to pretend as if you have any idea of what actually happened. Now, are any of those scenarios possible?
Sure.
Sure.
They're all possible.
They're all. God himself could have directed that captain to cut the power, steer that boat perfectly into that specific support,
mm-hmm.
because God knew that it would take the whole bridge down.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever scenario you want to come up with.
You know what the other likely scenario is? This ship has been in use for a long time, and there was a freaking loose wire somewhere, and they lost power to the ship. Like, that's... That's also another, like, well, it's more than likely a computer system failure of some kind. That's, I believe, the most likely scenario that there is, even though I'm sure that there are checks and rechecks of this stuff all the time. But the answer just, guys, sometimes the answer is that you don't know right now. Mm-hmm. This just happened at 1:40 a.m. this morning.
The other conspiracy, I hate to say conspiracy because these are theories, right? Is this, and I think I saw this on Vice News, I'm pretty sure, which is, I mean, credible. apparently, this bridge is similar to Florida in that it hates gay people.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It loves gay people.
Oh, the bridge loves gay
people. So the right-wing terrorists, Donald Trump, MAGA, Americans, who... Obviously, a lot of them are construction workers, and yeah. So this makes sense.
I gotcha.
In a way.
Well, they did this just to make Pete Buttigieg and the Biden administration look bad, too.
Yes.
At the same time. This is just a...
Well, because he's a gay cabinet.
Yeah.
You know?
This is just a less severe version of January 6th.
But this is why we have to, you know, hamper down on domestic right-wing terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah. Magoo also pinpointed the other likely culprit, which is climate change. I'm sure if it weren't for climate
change.
Well, I
thought that was a given.
Yeah. Well, if it weren't for the fact that we were using that specific ship, which
imagine
is adding
what
the climate
the water
change,
levels
you know?
Would be
mm.
if it weren't for climate change, which yeah. would then, this ship easily would have not even come close.
Yeah.
Because the water levels would have been different, which changes the current.
Yeah, and it changes the curvature of the pillar that it hit, too. Actually, if the boat would have been at natural water levels, you see the pillar curves like this, and the tip of the boat would have just easily gone right through there. But since the water levels are up higher now, it collided right there.
Yeah.
You see, Al Gore was right.
Well, which we know the unions have something to do with all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the thing.
It comes down to the unions. This is a union problem.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see when we get more information what happened. The ship is still there floating and intact, and we should be able to trace down what happened in the ship. Not us personally, because we've already solved the problem, but when everyone else catches up to us, they will be able to figure out the actual truth in the matter.
I can't wait to cut this clip.
It's going
to
be fun. Yeah.
You should post this clip as if we've solved the case. Yeah.
I will. I'm going to. Yeah. I'm going to cut it, post it out.
The truth of the matter is that this is a sad tragedy for anyone who's lost their lives. It definitely unlocked everyone. I think everyone has probably a natural fear of driving 100 foot above a waterway.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, 80 feet. It's probably pretty
high. It's got to be pretty tall. It's a big boat.
Yeah. So it's got to be a decently high bridge. I'm sure everyone has thought about their car plunging into the frigid waters below. Now that's obviously, we have it on video as a reality.
Yeah.
And so the truth is that this is, it's sad for the people who have lost their lives or potentially lost their lives. And then we'll know what happens or what caused this or what likely caused this when they do an investigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know what the solution to do you want a solution to the problem? I got the solution.
We should get rid of bridges?
Well, that's one thing, but that would actually disproportionately affect people of color, so you don't want to do that.
Oh, get rid of ships.
Containers. That's one. You don't want to have containers. Yeah, you don't want to have commerce, actually, and because this is actually just the evils of capitalism.
Oh, my God, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, that's what it is. Capitalism.
Oh, my God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, if we just wouldn't have had capitalism.
This ship was full of containers. And what are those containers full of? Goods.
Goods.
That some rich business owner was selling or buying, vice versa. And if capitalism wasn't in existence, as it shouldn't be, we could have avoided this.
Well, because this ship is a beacon of exploitation around the globe. And this is what happens.
But you can't charge capitalism itself. Mm-hmm. So most likely it has to be the unions, as we already pointed out.
Yeah, we think it's the unions.
We can't investigate this any further, Nate. We might come up with a different scenario that is not going to make any sense.
Well, whatever different scenario is going to be wrong. But I'll tell you what the solution is to this, and I'm going to say it before the government does, and this is actually a true statement. You need to give the government more money. The Department of Transportation needs more money. So they can make sure that this
MDOT
doesn't happen.
MDOT did not have enough money to actually close the bridge down.
That's the
with
problem.
The information the Coast Guard gave them.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have a rapid ship red flag law, which is what happens when you have an imminent threat from a ship. They put out a extreme shipping container ship risk protection order out there, and they stopped the ship from going any further. But at the end of the day, we need to go through, like what T-Dub just said, a full review of policies and regulations. We need to have a new regulatory body to make sure that this never happens again. And we're going to need to spend some more money. And that's how we're going to solve this problem. Noble Gold. You've heard the headlines. Inflation is unchecked. The dollar is collapsing. The government's printing too much money. Maybe we've talked about
gold.
Some of those feelings. I love gold.
I love gold.
The fear is real, but there is a solution. Gold. MFing gold.
That's right.
The government can't print more gold. Gold isn't collapsing, and gold's value increases during inflationary times. Noble Gold Investments is here to help you protect your wealth.
And this is exciting, Nate, because gold can be a hedge against that inflation you talked about. It remains steady when inflation is on the rise and the dollar is in turmoil. So whether you're a seasoned investor or new to the game, Gold Noble Gold Investments simplifies and secures your gold investment journey. Plus,
invest in something you can hold. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com/GML to get started. Don't wait. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/GML. Speaking of extreme risk protection orders, Thomas Massie posted out a bunch about this. This is how I first found out about it. We will move on to a less fun conversation. I know there's nothing more fun than talking about a bridge collapsing, But moving on to a less fun conversation, the DOJ has announced its new effort, the launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Thomas Massey said the DOJ waited until the omnibus passed before announcing the new National Red Flag Center so you wouldn't know what the omnibus money is being spent on. So in this omnibus, they have more money for the DOJ, of course, fully funding and I'm sure upping their budgets from the previous year. If they would have announced this beforehand, well, maybe Republicans would have been upset. They could have called their congresspeople, stuff like that. So you wait until the day after the omnibus actually passes, and then you announce that you're going to have a National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Now, this does not mean that the federal government is going to go out
this
there.
This is a NERPARC.
Yes.
NERPARC.
NERPORC.
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 That's what it's called, NERPORC. Mm-hmm. This does not mean that the federal government's going to go out there and just start taking away your guns if they deem you to be too risky, but they, not yet anyway, but they are going to help your state governments do it for you, or for them. So this is from Fox News. VP, you can do some, and I can do some if you want to. I don't care. Vice President Kamala Harris traveled to Florida on Saturday, where she touted a Biden administration effort to provide training and technical assistance to individuals responsible for implementing laws designed to keep guns out of the hands of people who pose a threat to themselves or others. The new program drew immediate backlash from some Republicans who called the effort a massive red flag operation.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. The National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. Okay, they're saying ERPO. Well, that's what Extreme Risk Protection Order is, but NERPORC is what we're calling it. Mm-hmm. According to a Saturday Department of Justice press release, will specifically provide assistance to law enforcement officials, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service and social service providers, community organizations, and behavioral health professionals. ERPO laws, which are modeled off of domestic violence protection orders, create a civil process allowing law enforcement, family members in most states, and medical professionals or other groups in some
other
states,
groups
to petition a court to temporarily prohibit someone at risk of harming themselves or others from purchasing and possessing firearms for the duration of the order, the DOJ noted. I happen to not like red flag laws, Charlie, just so you know.
I don't either.
Not a fan of them, although I do understand the arguments that you can make. But I do believe that, what do you think?
It's clear,
I
mean, it's a clear violation of due process.
Well, let's say you make a threat. What if you make a threat? Like, hey, I'm going to go buy a gun and shoot up a hospital tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I just said it right here on this podcast. Hypothetically, I'm not going to do that. NERPORC, if you're watching right now, okay?
Yeah.
But if I said that, and I tell everyone, that's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to go buy a gun. I'm going to do this.
Then there's...
Is there any cause for red flagging me at that point?
Well, there's a due process for that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You take what you said and you have to go to a judge and say, hey, this person said this. Can we get a temporary order? The answer to that, I would say, is yes.
Now, Kamala Harris...
But there's already a process for that, by the way. There's and by the way, courts will grant emergency hearings.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Trump said that he wants to take the guns first and then do process later.
Yeah.
So Kamala Harris went to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where 17 people were killed in a February 2018 mass shooting, introducing this effort. Now, I have a question. This is just going to show that I don't remember the specifics of this incident. Was this an incident in which if a red flag order would have been in place that this incident would not have happened?
Probably not.
Is that one of those? I mean, it could be. It actually could be. If anyone listening in the Fed Haters Club knows, I thought this was one of the ones where he got the gun from his parents or something. But I'm not sure. I could be totally wrong on that.
That's in Florida, right? Parkland?
Yes. Yeah. Attorney General Merrick Garland said in a statement that the effort will provide...
It was already someone who... couldn't even possess a handgun.
I think so, because it was a student,
right? Current laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't possess a handgun and he couldn't say gay.
Well, the problem is, the reason why you're having trouble remembering is that there's already been 687 mass shootings
this
at schools.
Week.
Well, I was going to say since the beginning of the year, but
probably this week.
Probably this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The launch of the NERPORC will provide our partners across the country with valuable resources to keep firearms out of the hands of individuals who pose a threat to themselves or others, Garland said. The establishment of the center is the latest example of the Justice Department's work to use every tool provided by the landmark bipartisan Safer Communities Act to protect communities from gun violence. Through the Resource Center and its website, the Justice Department noted that states, local governments, law enforcement, prosecutors, all of these people that we just named earlier will enhance their ability to reduce firearm homicides and suicides. The website will be maintained and updated to include newly developed resources for the field created through the center in partnership with the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
But this website costs $1 billion to put together.
The website also provides a platform for the center to highlight emerging and promising practices and successful ERPO implementation, and connect states and localities to innovative strategies to reduce gun violence and save lives. I love it when the government reaches out a helping hand to take away people's rights. Mm-hmm. It's always really nice of them when they do that.
The problem is not that people are trying to like reduce gun violence, because we're against death on this show. Like, I don't like when people die for any reason. Be it ships, be it, you know,
union attacks,
be it union attacks,
yeah,
terrorist attacks,
yeah,
gun deaths, people committing suicide, whatever. I'm against all of that stuff. Here's the problem when governments implement things like this, because this has been done throughout history. They will use this to take away the rights of people who have done nothing to deserve their rights being taken away whatsoever. And they'll use very rare instances to put a blanket on law-abiding citizens to be able to strip their rights when they see it necessary.
Yeah, the thing is that most of the gun violence is not going to be affected by this at all. Like, most gun violence that we hear about and that contributes to the statistics that we see are not people who should have had a red flag law used against them, or that anyone had ever tried to use a red flag law against them. A lot of times it's with people who have illegal guns or other people's guns or whatever it is. People in gangs, gang violence, stuff like that. That's where a lot of it comes from. Like, that doing this for the very rare circumstances that we see there were warning signs and all of this, like, you wouldn't even put a dent in the gun violence statistics by using this. What I'm most concerned with is that right now this is just a website, and they're going to try to coordinate with state and local officials, and they're going to try to help them use their red flag laws more effectively and efficiently. They're also going to be gathering a lot of data on what these states and local governments are doing and not doing. This is going to be like them getting their first little tentacle into these state and local governments and watching what they're doing with red flag laws. And then eventually it flips around to, well, maybe we can punish the states and local governments for not implementing what we're saying they should do. Now, not specifically punish, but maybe we'll withhold funding that we already took from them, and then we're going to say we're not going to give it back to them afterwards. And then eventually, once we see that enough states or whatever don't comply, then we'll argue for the actual national red flag law force to come in and actually be organizing and orchestrating these state and local governments and telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. At that point, I would expect that the Supreme Court would get involved, but
What Biden says here. Quote, none of this. I taught the Second Amendment for 12 years. This guy taught the Second Amendment for 12 years.
There's the problem right there.
None of this violates the Second Amendment or vilifies responsible gun owners. That's a direct quote from Biden.
Yeah, this is from the State of the Union, where he was talking about the NRA and the assault weapons ban. He said, I'm proud to be the NRA when I signed most significant gun safety law in nearly 30 years because of this Congress. We now must beat the NRA again. I don't know, the ban on assault weapons, a high pass of magazine. Pass universal background check.
Come on.
That's what he said. All right, there you go. Let's move on to the next way that governments infringe on your rights. It's not always people on the left or Democrats. By the way, I was going to ask you, you think if Donald Trump wins re-election, he's going to rescind the NERPORC part of the agency? Or you think he's going to be just fine with it staying in place?
Maybe if Vivek is his VP.
We'll see. By the way, I forgot that I think RFK officially, or it seems like it's pretty official who his vice president nominee is going to be.
Aaron Rodgers?
No. I can't remember her name. It's someone that we've never heard of.
Aaron?
Her claim to fame is that she was once married to Sergey Brin, who started Google.
Ah.
And so she has a lot of money because you know how it happens when people get divorced and women all of a sudden become rich afterwards. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they give from their own heart.
Yes. And so...
and someone else's check.
It looks like that's who he's going with, but I literally know nothing about this woman whatsoever. So we'll see after the official announcement is made. My point of the last statement was that Trump seems to be just fine with red flag laws. Yeah. And so while a lot of people on the right are going to be upset with the Biden administration doing this, I can guarantee you that he ain't going to do anything about this at all. In fact, he'll probably take credit for it later.
God, every time I see this man, I'm reminded that I can't say gay.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We were going to say gay, but then we were talking about Ron DeSantis right now, and I don't want him coming after us.
All right. In Florida, besides not being able to say gay, now Ron DeSantis has signed a social media age verification bill. Mm-hmm. The law would require platforms to use invasive measures to prevent most teenagers under 16 from making social media accounts and bar all minors from sexually explicit sites.
Mm. Oh, so you're going to have to click a button that says you're over 18.
Yeah.
When you get on there.
Yeah.
No, I guess maybe they're going to actually do age verification. So we'll see.
On Monday, Florida Governor Don't Say Gay Ron DeSantis signed a bill enacting sweeping restrictions on minors' access to social media in the state. This comes just weeks after DeSantis vetoed a different age verification bill, citing concerns that the first bill was too broad. But the latest bill approved by DeSantis still places draconian limits on young people's ability to make social media accounts and requires sites to infringe upon everyone else's privacy in the process. Do you know who could set limits on young people's ability to make social media accounts?
Unions?
Besides unions.
Oh, okay. Their parents, I bet.
Parents?
Yeah, their parents could do that.
Yeah. I got to tell you, my son doesn't have any social media accounts on the account that I'm his dad.
Yeah. I got a niece and she's 15 years old. She doesn't have any social media accounts and she has a cell phone. Isn't that weird?
It's so weird.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
She's not doing TikTok dances?
Not by her decision, by her parents' decision.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Huh. Under House Bill 3, most social media sites will be required to deny accounts to those under 14 years old and terminate any accounts already held by kids under 14, including accounts that the platform isn't certain are held by someone under 14, but that the company treats or categorizes as belonging to an account holder who is likely younger than 14 years of age for purposes of targeting content or advertising. Accounts held by 14 and 15-year-olds are also targeted for deletion under the law, though these teenagers can keep their accounts with parental permission. Weird. Parental permission.
So it's okay if you're...
How about that?
If your parents say it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's automatic under 14, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. Next one. There we go.
All right. It further states that any commercial entity that publishes content that is harmful to minors on a website or social media application must use age verification measures to ensure that users under 18 cannot access the material. The section of the law appears to be written to prevent minors from accessing pornography websites, defining material harmful to minors as content that, quote, appeals to the
prurient
interests.
I don't know. I don't like that first R in that word.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Depicts or describes in patently offensive way sexual content.
And says gay.
And when taken as a whole, lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value for minors.
Hmm.
You can have a kid in the house safe, seemingly, and then you have predators that can get right in there into your own home You could be doing everything right, but they know how to get and manipulate these different platforms. Again, it's not the platform's fault. It's the parents' fault.
The kids are on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should know about this. It's the same reason you don't like let your kids walk in a busy city alone.
Yeah.
Don't let them go online alone. There are so many free market solutions to this already. Like just unbelievable apps and privacy things out there that will already prevent this kind of thing.
I mean, when you get a family plan, like you can have a kid's plan or a child's plan that allows the parent to literally see everything that happens on the cell phone, like everything, you know? Mm. And so you can know exactly what websites get visited and text messages. So, I mean, apps, everything, got to get permission for all of it. And so I seem to remember this whole idea that like parents should be making decisions about their children, you know? And I think a lot of that conversation came out of Florida. And so that's pretty weird that all of a sudden you'd say, well, in this case, the government knows best. The government schools didn't know best. That was the government. Those are government schools that were doing things. And then we decided that the parents actually knew best. And now all of a sudden we're saying that the parents don't know and it's actually the government. I don't disagree.
That's what I was about to say. I don't disagree necessarily in the essence that it is the internet can be a dangerous place, that there's a bunch of gross things on there that kids should not be involved in, let alone adults shouldn't be involved in either. But because it's just not good for you mentally, among other things that data clearly shows is not good for you. There's predators on, and you know, and virtual predators, like there are real life predators, and it is a dangerous place. But this is what I don't like about Republicans. This is what I don't like about Republicans and Democrats. They're all trying to codify into law their moral virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And we can solve these problems without government making laws that all it does is make things more expensive for people and make it more difficult for you to participate economically or any other way.
Now you're just going to have back alley social media platforms, you know, black market social media platforms
or people,
stuff like that.
Or people using VPNs and all kinds of stuff when they're in Florida.
Well, I guess that if you're making an account, you still have to do some type of age verification. So the fake ID business is about to really explode.
Yeah.
There in Florida.
But also you could just make your IP address a different location.
Mm-hmm.
So that how would the social media site know?
That's true. Yeah. Outside of Florida is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. when you access that website, then it looks like you're accessing it from, you know, Dothan, Alabama. And then you
is that a town?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, you could have sex with your sister. You know.
Wait. What just happened? How do we get there?
Alabama.
God.
You know.
No.
Then
offense.
The whole internet opens up.
Yes.
You know.
Then you finally have freedom.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that took a turn. Anyhow, you know.
Yeah, lots of people pass through Dothan every time you go to the
never
to the Gulf.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've only been there that one time when I went with you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when you forced yourself on a trip.
Companies that violate the law could face severe penalties, including up to $50,000 in damages per violation and a payout of $10,000 more if they are sued by an individual minor over a, that's a young person, not someone who's looking for coal, minor over a violation of the law. While the bill does not specify how exactly social media sites should verify a customer's age, which such large consequences for violating the law, it's likely that companies will require companies to hand over their government ID. You see, the whole thing here is an attempt to keep black people off of social media. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Because Florida knows...
And gay people.
Florida knows good and well that black people cannot get government IDs. And so now...
Well, they can't even access the internet anyway.
No.
So.
Well, that's true. You don't have to... I guess you weren't worried about that in the first place. But the ones who did steal the internet from someone else, then they are not going to be able to get on because they don't have a government ID. Mm-hmm. And so this law, while you think it takes away parental rights, it's actually racist. So that's what I've come down. And that's actually Ron DeSantis' intention.
And so you can't really see it in this law, but this probably has something to do with that ship hitting the bridge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ship hits a bridge at just hours after this law is signed in. I mean, how do you argue with that?
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Yeah. I'll tell you what the odds are. They don't exist because that does have something to do with it.
Because it's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's a counter to it. HB3 forces Floridians to hand over sensitive personal information to websites or lose their access to critical information channels. This infringes on Floridians' First Amendment rights to share and access speech online, says Carl Sabo, the vice president and general counsel of NetChoice, an organization that is sued to stop similar laws. He said, "We're disappointed to see Governor DeSantis sign onto this route. There are better ways to keep Floridians, their families, and their data safe and secure online without violating their freedoms." My other bigger problem with this is that if this were I don't like the idea of social media companies moving to ID verification, okay? I don't think it's a good idea. Now, the social media companies might want to do that. First off, that's a big risk, giving them your identification, your actual government ID, and that they're going to keep that information safe. Second, I don't like how freaking close the government is to the social media companies and the fact that we should be able to anonymously speak on social media. And if this were to move across the entire country, that the government-controlled social media companies are then going to have access to everyone's identification and know exactly who it is that's saying every single thing on the internet all the time. I think that is a danger that often, you know, in this case, you could say Republicans aren't looking out for how this is going to be misused by the government in the future. And they're going to do it to protect the children and to keep people safe, of course. And then this is another example of how wanting safety over liberty is going to end up with neither safety nor liberty.
Actually, we know it ends up with tyranny.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Because you're just, we pretty much know how the Supreme Court case with the government trying to control the social media companies is going to go. It's looking like it's going to go in favor of the government. And the rate at which they are talking to these social media companies is just going to increase, especially after the Supreme Court says, yeah, that's fine, whatever. So I don't like the idea of all of them having everyone's ID on file tied to their social media accounts and then watching every single thing that everyone's posting, not to mention all the other data that goes along with it, your location data, your likes, your dislikes, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. No, it's a terrible idea. Even if it keeps one child safe, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it is. And that's the other thing. You bring up a good point. Like, one of the best things about online is that you can be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it has its downsides, of course, but
like the downfall of Western civilization,
potentially.
Yeah.
You know, or ships running into bridges,
mm-hmm.
you know, and collapsing bridges. But at the same time, like, that is what freedom's actually all about. The fact that the government cannot just on a whim, you know who you are and go through your stuff and violate you as a person. You have a right to be private.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to be to be free and be private and not to be investigated without due process. And so, yeah, adding all these lists that these governments want to create and being able to verify who you are and what you're doing at any given second for them to sift through and find some kind of crime that you're committing. And that's the danger thing about using something like this in the future to protect children is going to backfire.
It's always going to. It's going to be a national registry of every person in America, what they're doing at all times, what they like, what they don't like, what they're buying, where they're going, where they're about to go. and what their thoughts are on things that the government are doing. That's eventually what ideas like this lead to, even if it starts with keeping children safe. I think that's all we got to do today. Let's go.
All right. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it around with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone under 18, they should know about these conspiracies. Share it with them on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, TikTok.
Telegram.
Mm-hmm. Freedom chat. Celebrate, you know, share it around with them. Do all of that. The sharing is what I'm saying. Visit our sponsors in the links below. They have been great to us.
Mm-hmm.
You should be great to them because they're good sponsors. We don't have any, you know, sponsors that we don't actually support, you know? We wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't do that kind of thing.
So you should go support them.
Also, I mean, just think about what it takes for a company, a national major company to the side, to listen to today's episode and say, yeah, I'm fine with these two gentlemen representing my brand.
Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would. That's what happened with the advertisement for Noble Gold that you heard during the middle of this
two blokes.
Episode. Blokes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wankers. But, you know, Ted Lasso.
All right.
Anyway, go visit all the links. Go to the website. Go to YouTube. Watch the full episode there. You can see all this on video. You can see Nate's handsome face with his torn shoulder.
Yeah.
You can't see that. But you
can't
could,
see that.
Maybe you could see the pain that he's in.
They're both torn.
You could see the pain that he's in.
I got a lot of pain behind my eyes.
Because he's broken.
Mm-hmm.
When he's lonesome. And he doesn't feel right.
No. No, I don't.
So go watch it on YouTube so you can see that visually.
All right, now that song. All right, let's go. We got to go. Yeah.
Do all those things or don't. I don't really care if you do or don't. We'll be back again tomorrow. Hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty. 'Cause I-